Matthew 16, don't forget, verse 13. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist, others Elijah, or some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he said, who do you say that I am? You, my prophet. Then he said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon but Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now notice what we said yesterday. It takes revelation to know what God has done. You see, you can't rely on your senses to know what God is doing. There are too many believers that make assumptions. Say, God is trying to tell me something. We don't function by the senses. We don't function by observation. We function by revelation. Say, I function by revelation. Not by observation. Not by what I think or I feel or I perceive. Okay? Now, look at the B part. He said, I say unto you, I also say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice the personal pronoun. I will build my church. You know, if you have listened to the series we taught on the wrath of God, I told you that God never asked Abel for an offering. Don't forget that. I explained that to you. God never did. But you see, humanity has the style of trying to take the place of what God will do. His works. Sometimes we just feel, okay, this should be our role and our part to play. He said, I will build my church. Notice the two pronouns, I and my. It didn't say, I will build our church. It's mine. And notice that. I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it because it is work. And we said that the gates of hell should not prevail referred to his resurrection from the dead. Are you still there? All right, good. It's not a present tense occurrence. That's not about to happen. That has already happened. So we can say the gates of hell did not prevail. Hallelujah. Because Hebrews 2:14 says, he partook of the same, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, alright, who all through their lifetime were subject to the bondage of fear. So he has done that already. Hallelujah. Is that clear? That should be very clear to you. Now look at a verse of scripture I want us to observe. Ephesians 2:19 to 22. Pay attention to details today. You always do, I believe. But pay very good attention this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. I will build my church. So if he's building his church, you will be his work. Look at that. I will build my church. Ephesians 2:19. I believe this, and I must say this, that we have not heard the realities of who we are in Christ enough at all. We have not touched the surface. You know, people quickly, just like Paul said in Galatia, after a while, when we teach these truths, we start getting uncomfortable. That maybe it's too, we're overemphasizing it. No, we haven't even said enough. Praise God. Praise God. We haven't said enough. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, hallelujah, you are no more strangers. Now, let's start from 18. 18 will make a lot of sense. For through him we both have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Hallelujah.
So I'm a saint, I'm a citizen. Praise God. Now, the word citizen in the Greek means where you were born from. So that means I am not an official member of the household of God. I am a natural member. You know, they have official members of the family. We are not official members. We are natural members. Look at the next verse. Now notice it. He says, and you are built. Say, we are built. Notice that. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So he says, you are built. That's what he said. We are built. Say, we are built. That word in the Greek is a finished task. So that's why the next statement says, and in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into an holy temple in the Lord. The building. So there is already a building. We are built and there is a building. Look at 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Have you seen that all those things are in the past? So there is a building already. Now, that building is the family. We're built already. So, go back to Matthew 16. I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail. I will build my church. And what he's referring to is the family. Go to Matthew 16 one more time. Are you following me? Come on, guys, are you following me? Matthew 16. So he said, I will build my church. I'll give to you, I. But you need to read the entire words of Jesus to understand what he was saying. Remember, in Ephesians 2:18, he says, through him, we both have access unto the Father by one Spirit. In John 14, because the family is the Father's family. Look at John 14. Verse 10. We're going to read it together. John 14, 10 to 12. Are you there? Are you there? Let's take it together. Believe thou not? I'm waiting for you. Let's go. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. So when he said, I will build my church, those were the words of the Father. A son doesn't build a family, it's the Father that builds a family. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen carefully, you get it shortly. The son doesn't build a family. Then he appoints a father. I've made ready a family, so come and be a father. No. It's the Father that builds a family. So, why did Jesus say, I will build my church? We just saw it now. The words I speak, it's the Father's words. Praise the Lord. Come on, are you following this? Those are the Father's words. I will build my church. Because it's not just the church of Christ, it is the Father's family. Now notice this, John 14. Let's take verse 11 together. Everybody, let's go. Believe me. Come on, everybody, let's go. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater work than this, because I go to the Father. Look at 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified where? In the Son. Say, the Father is glorified in the Son. So, who built the family? The Father did. In the Son. He built the family in the Son. Look at John's Gospel 5, verse 19. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John's Gospel 5, verse 19. Praise God. John's Gospel 5, verse 19. No, verse 17. I'm sorry for that. Let's take it together. John's Gospel 5, 17. Let's go. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Look at that. Look at that. That verse is coming out shortly. My Father worketh hitherto, that is, I work. In other words, the Son's work is the Father's work. It is the Father that is working, and we see it in the Son. Never forget. It is the Father working what we see in the Son. In this family, the Father and the Son are not independent. They are not separated. The Father walketh and I walk. Look at 19. 19. Now, he uses the same term, ergozomai, E-R-G-O-Z-O-M-A-I. He said, the Father walketh, then I walk. In other words, my work is from the Father's work. My work is from the Father's work. Follow this now. Verse 19. Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing. Can you see? Can you see? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also does the Son likewise. Someone say nothing. The Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. So whatever the Son does is a response to what the Father is doing. Pay attention, please. So a family, we know naturally that a family is birthed by the Father. The word Father in the Greek is Abba or Pata. Two things. The Hebrew says Abba, but the Greek also borrows it. It's Pata, P-A-T-E-R. It's used for someone who starts something. A father who births it. A founder. So the founder of the church is the Father. The founder of the family is the Father. Go back to Ephesians 2:18. The founder of the church is the Father. The Son can do nothing of his own self. Nothing. Glory to his name. Remember what Jesus said, or what the Father said about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said that to John the Baptist. When Elijah and Moses showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. In other words, if you are going to hear me, you will have to hear him. He's not a messenger. Hallelujah. No, he's not a messenger. He is the Father manifest. Hallelujah. Are you there? Go back to Ephesians 2:18. Are you learning something? Right. Ephesians 2:18. And through him, that's Jesus, we both have access, glory to God, by one Spirit unto the Father. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What do you mean by access? That's why he said you are no longer a stranger. You are no longer a foreigner. But you are now a native. A fellow citizen with all the saints. And of the household of God, God is the founder. That's why it's called his household. He's a founder. So you are no longer a foreigner. In other words, you don't go through Jesus. You only come once. We have access. That access is once. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about salvation. That we have access. We have come in. Hallelujah. We are now in the household. Say, I'm in the household. Now, how did we come into the household? We came in Christ. Now, who walks in Christ?
The Father.
So we came in the Father. Because you cannot be born by the Son. You are born by the Father, but where does the Father walk? He walks in the Son. Follow this well. So chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to start from verse 4. I want to start from verse 1. Okay, let me allow us to do verse 3. Let's take it together. Hallelujah. How that by revelation, let's start from verse 3 together. Let's go. How that by revelation, everybody, come on. It made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, and the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and power in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Hallelujah. If you preach the gospel without assurance, it is not the gospel of Christ. All the words in the epistle are filled with so much assurance. See, boldness, confidence. He said now with the access, boldness with confidence. Paresia in the Greek means freedom of speech. Hallelujah. Are you there? Follow this now. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let's go, verse 13. I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause. Hallelujah. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. He calls it a family. Hallelujah. 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 So the church is firstly a family before it's a gathering. Many people know the church of the gathering, but they are not aware of the church of the family. It's the family that gathers. So we are firstly a family. Say, we are family. Say, like you say, we are family. Watch this. Of whom the whole family is named. Hi. The word named there means to call. That is, it's God who called us family. We did not choose him. The Greek word there means that he put the label on you himself. It's not that we are calling him our father. We call him our father because he had first called us his son. So our saying Father is only a response. We didn't initiate it. Are you following me? You did not initiate this. He was the one, he is the one, and he will always be the one that will call you. We are named by the Father. We are named by the Father. He will call you. Glory to God. Of whom the whole family is named. You know the way in the Jews, they'll say, he is of Abraham. Is this not the son of Joseph? Because they relate you with your father. He's saying, we are related to our father. So if there is a surname born by the family, every one of us will bear the same name. There's a surname. For example, if the surname is God, praise God. Let me stop there. Before I say something you don't want to hear. So, it's very vital you understand this. We are named by Him. You didn't make Him your father. He made you His son. Remember that promise. He said, and I will be to you a father, and you will be to me sons and daughters. It's His work. Remember, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Say, I'm the Father's work. Come on, say it like you say, I'm the Father's work. Say, I'm the Father's work. That's it. I will build my church. I'll build my family. So go back to John 14. Let's see something. So, we did not initiate this family. And your pastor doesn't initiate the family. You know, your pastor does not determine who is in the family. Right? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When He gave us His Spirit, the Spirit said, Abba, Father. He named us Himself. John 14, verse 2. In my Father's household, there are many temples. Remember that? You still remember that? In my Father's household, John 14, verse 2, there are many temples. If it were not so, I'll have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Pay attention now. And that's the Father's house. Look at verse 6. I am the way. I am the truth. That is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice, he puts the word and before life. He didn't say, I am the way and I am the truth. Mm-mm. I am the way, the truth. He doesn't repeat the word way again. Rather, he replaces it with the word truth. He stays with that. Listen now. And the life. In other words, Jesus is not talking about three elements. He's talking about the life. So when it says, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he's not talking about, listen now, he's not talking about cometh to the Father, then you go to the Father. No, listen here. The word come is used also for worship, to stand before. So he explains what he meant. When Philip says, show us the Father, then he says, he that has seen me. So he is, because if he is the way to the Father, that means there's a distance. Are you there? There's no distance. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, I am the truth about the Father. I am the light. When you see me, you are with the Father. Hallelujah. Pay attention now. In verse 12 to 13, verse 9 and 10, forever 10, he says, the Father which dwelleth in me. He was consistent. Let's observe some things. I need us to just check out some things. Look at his emphasis. In verse 2, he says, in my Father's house. In verse 6, he that cometh unto the Father. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen carefully to this. If you have known me, you will have known my Father also. And henceforth you know him and you have seen him. In verse 9, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How shall he show us the Father? Then he says in verse 10, believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, for else believe me for the very work's sake. Now this is very, very, very vital. Where is the Father? In him. So how come in 12? Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do shall he do. And greater than this, because I go unto. How can you go unto the person you say is in you? We'll explore that. Listen very well. I go unto my Father. You say the Father is in you. How are you going to the Father? Follow this now. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in Son. Are you noticing? He keeps emphasizing the work of the Father. Then again, verse 16. Let's take 16 together. And I will pray the Father. Come on, everybody. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Father's work. Verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He that keeps my commandments, the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. What are his commandments? What did he say? You know, when you hear commandment, your head just goes to Sinai. Commandment. What commandment? Look at verse 1. Believe. Hallelujah. He just said believe. Remember yesterday, I showed you yesterday the beginning to the end of this teaching. I called it a faith class. Can you remember? Where we wrapped up in John 16. Said, do you now believe? Hallelujah. So, what were his commandments? Believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, look at this. John 14. He that keepeth them, it is he that loves me, and loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I'll love him, and will manifest myself to him. Watch this. Look at verse 23. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Are you following this now? Are you following this now? Then he says in 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 28, you have heard now how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Follow this one now. Verse 31. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Follow this one. Praise God. So he emphasizes the Father. He puts the attention of the disciples, his immediate audience, on the Father. So, don't discharge what he's saying yet. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, the family is whose work? The family is whose work? Good. The family is whose work? So go to John 15. The next statement. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Hallelujah. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. The word husbandman is not someone that has a wife. Husbandman. Now notice this. Why did he use husbandman? It's a Greek word, geogos. G-E-O-R-G-O-S. G-O-R-G-O-S. It's used 19 times for a farmer. For a farmer. Why did Jesus call the Father the husbandman? Why? It's not difficult. We just read everything he said in 14 was about the Father. So he says, look, I am the true vine, but it is not my work, it's the Father's work. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Now, let's look at how the husbandman is described. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 6. Glory to his name. You know, I told you yesterday that it was an entire teaching from 14 to 16. So whatever you read in 16, trace it to 14. He started saying it from 14. Most of the reasons why we have error about many teachings is that we leave statements out of context. Remember I said, you can use the scriptures to contradict your message. Simply because you have not read everything. Now, notice this. Go back again. 2 Timothy 2:6. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. The husbandman that what? Laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruit. So, by using husbandman, who does the work? Come on, talk to me. Not the farmer. The entire farmland is his work. Now, he says, he is the one that labors. Then, listen, he is the partaker, he's the first partaker of what he does. Why did he say that? Because this is the reward of his work. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Go to James 5. Just application somewhere else. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren of the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. He uses here an example. Wait for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. So, one of the traits of the husbandman is patience. He desires to see fruit of his work. Because if there is no fruit in his work, who failed? The husbandman. So, let's get back to John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Listen carefully now. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, it takes away. Now the word take away is the word aireo in the Greek. It means, don't mind King James, it means he will lift it up. Because if the branch is not bearing fruit, it is the husbandman's work. Hallelujah. So, he's telling you, part of his work is also to correct and make it function well. She will lift it up. He says, now the one that is bearing fruit, he will still purge it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean, he says, through the word which I spoke unto you. Now, let us read with religion. So, verse 2 will be spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, again, is the work of the Father. In a family, the nurturing of the children is not left to the children. Are you following this? God is not born through rain. He gave birth to you and said, well, no, he's a responsible father. He said, the one that does not bear fruit, he lifts it up. It must bear, we must bear fruit. Hallelujah. Relax. It's a family. It's not a competition. It's not a game. We're not doing who wants to be a millionaire. And the father is asking a question. Do you know? Do you know? Phone a friend. No. We are his handiwork. Hallelujah. Follow this now. Look at verse 4. Now read verse 4 as a religious person. Abide in me. Are you abiding? I always say, are you abiding? We're referring to conduct. Abide in me, bro. Are you still abiding? Sis, are you sure you're abiding with what I'm saying? I used to preach like that. So, now, abide where? In me. How do we abide? That's the question. Do you know the word abide is the same word meno? Hallelujah. Abide in me. Why is he saying abide in me to them? He can't tell you to abide in him because you're already saved. Abide in me because he's telling them to believe. Abide in me. How do you abide? You abide by faith. You believe. Meno. You believe. He that believes on me. John 14:12. The works that I do, he will do. And greater works than this, because I go to my Father. So the minute you believe, you are now in the vine. Hallelujah. So if you are in the vine, he can't say, abide in me anymore, because you are already there. Let me see another point what I'm saying here. That statement is only applicable to his disciples, not to you. Because he is teaching them to believe. Abide in me. Follow this one now. Glory to his name. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except he abides in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You can call that an evangelistic sermon. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Because as he's saying that, he's teaching them faith. Abide in me. We have a series out there, the husbandman, the vine, and the branch. Fruitfulness is very exhausting on this text of scripture. The husbandman, the vine, and the branches. Look at this. If a man abides not in me, That is, it does not believe. He is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That is, this is not referring to a believer that backslides. No. He has already told you, if you are in him, and you are not bearing fruit, the Father will lift you up. If you are bearing fruit, you have much more fruit. But if you are a branch without the vine, you will be cast out. That means you are abiding alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, what are the words again? Everything he had been saying. And my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. As though they are not disciples already. So he's teaching them faith. Remember, he's about to die. And he'll be raised from the dead. He said, you guys have to believe. It's when you believe that I'm raised from the dead that you will abide in me. Are you following this? They could not abide in him now. How can they abide in him? They are looking at him that they can't be abiding in him. It's in his resurrection that they will abide. And that's where we are today. Hallelujah. In that resurrection, the Father is the only worker. He's the husband man. Christ is the vine. And we are in the vine. Hallelujah. I said we are in the vine. Hallelujah. How will this happen? John 14:16. I'll pray the Father. He will send another comforter that will abide with you forever. Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, verse 17, because he sees him not, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where in you. So because I live, you will live also. Do you know, everything he was saying there was in the future tense. But today, if we read the same place, it will be in the past tense. Look at verse 20. At that day, come on. At that day, what will happen? You will realize. Come on, are you there? You will realize what? I am in my Father, and where? And you in me. So he is the vine. And we are his branches. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to his name. So, Jesus was not teaching conduct. He was teaching faith in him. Faith in him. Not conduct. Of course, conduct comes later by the time you look at bearing fruit. But you see, what he was referring to was the Father's work. Amen. Amen. So, just like every other tree, listen now, the tree does not walk itself. It doesn't plant itself. You get it? No. The tree must be a product of someone who puts seed in the ground. And as it's growing, he becomes fruitful by the same person nurturing it. So, the Father plants his family and nurtures it into growth. The branch does not grow of itself. The branch grows in response to the work of the husband man. So spiritual growth is not self-effort. Spiritual growth is our response to the Father's teaching, to the Father's training. Are you in church? Go to John 16. Let's take it together. We were already yesterday. Let's go again. Are you there? Let's go. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverbs. Verse 30, now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Can you see what we're saying here? So all along, he was giving them words to believe. Now look at verse 31. Do you now believe? Hallelujah. Behold, the hour cometh and is come now, that you shall be scattered, every man to his town. You shall leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Glory to his name. Are you following this? So that was the end of the sermon. So everything he was talking about was for them to what? Be. And we have believed. We have believed. I said we have believed. That's why the next thing he does in chapter 17 was to pray. I thank you, Father. I have given to them eternal life. Hallelujah. That they may know you. Praise God. He begins to pray. And he says, the same glory that you gave me, I give to them. That we will be one. Hallelujah. So you'll be doing injustice to chapter 15 if you don't read 14 and 16. Then wrap up with 17. Hallelujah. And see what faith in Christ has accomplished for us. He said the same glory, verse 22, that I have with you, have I given to them, that we are all one. What's he saying? That means the husband man is inside the vine himself. He's not walking from the outside again. He's in the vine. In this family, we don't have distance. Don't you get it? We don't go to each other. We are with each other. We are in. Hallelujah. So the Father is the only worker here. He doesn't have departments. Okay, I'll take care of prayer. You make sure that you don't backslide. You hear me? Pull his ears. He was not backslide. If you backslide, there's nothing I can do. If you fall away, it is the failure of the husband man. But our Father doesn't fail. That's why Paul will say, being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you shall perform it, bring it into perfection unto the day of Christ. It's not a joint signatory account. No. It's a singular honor that he has. We are kept by the power of God eternally. I mean, this is his family. Praise God. Come on, this is his family. And he's not an irresponsible father. He takes care of us. Amen. He takes care of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a song we composed in 1997. Myself and a friend of mine is late now. I'm in fellowship with the Father. I'm in fellowship with the Word, Son. I'm in fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I'm in fellowship with the Father. I'm in fellowship with the Son. I'm in fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. I'm like a branch in the vine. I'm engrafted in Christ Jesus. And I'm growing every day. And I'm growing in His grace. I'm like a branch in the vine. I'm engrafted in Christ Jesus. And I'm growing and I'm growing in Him. Let's take it one more time. I'm in fellowship with the Father. Come on. I'm in fellowship with the Father. I'm in fellowship with the Son. I'm in fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. I'm in fellowship with the Father. I'm in fellowship with the Son. I'm in fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. I'm like a branch in the vine. I'm engrafted in Christ Jesus. I'm growing every day.
Come on, sing that loud. I'm growing in His grace. I'm like a branch in the vine. I'm engrafted in Christ Jesus. And I'm growing, and I'm growing in His grace.
Hallelujah. So, you can only abide once. Hallelujah. The minute you are in this vine, you can't live again. Because this vine, the husbandman, is a perfect one. He doesn't have a vine that is fruitless. He ensures it bears fruit. Praise God. See, I bear fruit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So John 14:20. In that day, you will realize. You will come to that knowledge, that understanding. That I am in my Father. I am in you. And you are also in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Romans 6:1. Let's just look at something quickly. I just sense as you look at this. Because there are too many people that want to quote the scriptures to contradict the word. Are you now saying, you know before, are you now saying, have you come across those people before? There was one I told 2 days ago. I said, you're a big hypocrite. You like eating song and you don't like eternal security. Hillsong, they are the major culprits of eternal security songs in the body of Christ. Everybody sings it though. You turned the way, you made a way, when you said, they are the major, I said you listen to Hillsong. So people don't like Pastor Chris, but they listen to Sinatra. You are not serious. You are not serious. You need a doctor. You know, hypocrisy is bad. How can you deny Hillsong? Ah! There's some songs when you are singing, the angels look at you. Don't mention my name, what angels? Singing with the angels. We don't sing this kind of nonsense song. Even angels will rebuke you. You don't like eternal salvation, but you are singing this song. You are not serious. Stop singing this song. Go back to Ondala, Ondala. Hey, only true believers will be last. You can't even. Thank you. Jesus, you know what it means? Hallelujah. So leave your song alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 6:1. Let's read religiously. What shall we say then, brethren? Shall we continue? No. Let me tell you how you read religiously. Shall we continue to sin? That grace may abound. God forbid. But then you cannot claim salvation. And claim you are a son of God. You can even be speaking in tongues and casting out devils. But brethren, the great apostle Paul, who taught the great revelation, he said, can we continue to sin? And expect grace to abound. Grace does not abound when you sin. Grace only abounds when you forsake your sin. Are you okay? If I forsake my sin, what is the grace coming to do? Holiday? Some people need... I actually think that the deliverance services are right. They really get some healing. I think we should endorse it. Because after saying that nonsense, if they come out! Ah! Oh! Yes! I mean, does it make sense? You cannot frustrate the grace of God. You cannot. Yes, some of you are just wasting the grace of God. Say, that brother has fallen from grace. Say why? Because he sinned. Ah, You really need to calm down. God is not a principal. He's a father. What shall we say then to this thing? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, remove your religious glasses, both for short-sightedness and long-sightedness. Take it off. And let's say what he has said. Look at verse 5. Just cool down, cool down. Like Pastor Wale would say, cozy. Cool down. Look at this. See how we explain grace. Verse 15. Let's take it slowly. Everybody, let's go. Everybody. But not as the offense. Come on, let's go. But not as the offense. So also is the free gift. For he through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto men. Verse 16. As it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. 20. Now, slowly, slowly, slowly. Don't rush. Let's go. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now slow, be slow. Verse 21. That as sin reigned unto death, even so we, by grace, reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't rush up. Is this clear, the grace he's talking about? This grace handles sin. Yes or no? Verse 1, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Now, this is a rhetorical question. Romans 8:31. What shall we say about these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? That means after the question, you will see the answer. He's not asking you a question. He is laying a fact there to you. Follow this, please. In Romans 11:1, he asks the same kind of rhetorical question. Romans 11:1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people which is for him. So, oftentimes, when he asks that question, he will answer it. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who shall be against us? That's not asking you to answer that question. He said, he who spared not his own son, but gave him up to die, shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Says, and I said, who is he that condemneth? Do you understand? That means he's asking a question that has an answer. Hallelujah. So go back to Romans 6:1. The answer is there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He didn't say, shall we continue to sin? The word continue is related to what we have read earlier, the word meno, to abide. He's saying, does the grace of Jesus, did it change us? He's not talking about conduct at all. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Please listen to this very well. He has already told you in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Let me rephrase that verse for you. Shall we continue in sin? King James has not helped us. That grace may abound. We can say, can we continue in sin, yet grace has abounded? That is, did this change us at all? What Jesus did it change us? That's the question he's asking. Then he answers the question. Now, let's look at the word continue, because that's a very vital word. Don't forget the word meno. Meno is where you are. That is, can we remain in sin despite what God has done in Christ? Did anything happen to us? That's what he's saying. So, Paul applies a word to the word meno. It's E-P-I. Epimeno. You don't use epimeno for conduct. Epimeno means we were in sin when Jesus came and died. Are we going to persist where we are? No. That's what he's saying. Epimeno. That is, we are not staying where we were. You cannot continue if you were not there. Now, in Christ, we are no longer there. So we cannot continue. So that's why the next statement. Now, a better way to look at the word. Let's see where he used that word. Romans 11, verse 22 and 23. Where he used the same word. Romans 11, verse 22 and 23. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but towards thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. If you continue in his goodness. Is that a conduct? I'm asking.
No.
That's not a conduct. If you continue in his goodness, are you the one doing his goodness? No, you are not. If you continue in his goodness. Verse 23. If they shall abide not still in unbelief. So the continuing is a position, not a series of actions. Can we continue in sin? That grace, and yet grace is abounding towards us. That does this grace change us at all? What Christ has done, does it change us? It couldn't be, because he told you in verse 17, we have received the abundance of grace and we reign. So, he's basically answering the question again. Follow this. You see the same word in Galatians 1:18, Paul. Philippians 1:24. Colossians 1:23 and 1 Timothy 4:16. Galatians 1:18, Philippians 1:24, Colossians 1:23 and 1 Timothy 4:16. So notice the answer. To use epimeno will mean that you were in sin and continued in it. It's not talking about a conduct. It's talking about a position. So look at the next verse. Remember, every time he throws that rhetorical question, he answers it. So, let us see the answer he gave. Let's start. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we yet abide in sin after the grace of God has abounded towards us? He said, God forbid. Now, the word God is not in the original. God forbid. How shall we? Now, the word forbid or not forbid is the word me, M-E. It means not or never. Never. That is never. It can't happen. We cannot be in sin after the grace of God has been given to us. That means the grace of God in Christ has changed us. We are now new men in Christ. Hallelujah. He said, never. Look at this. This makes sense now. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Two words. He uses the word dinomai. How shall we? He said, we no longer exist the way we were existing before. How shall we that are dead to sin? Say, I'm dead to sin. That's not a conduct, that's a nature. Hallelujah. How can we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? Glory to God. For God has given the spirit of his Son into our hearts. Hallelujah. Are you still there? He answers his question himself. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? Hallelujah. Come on, let's read verse 3 together. For as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So dying to sin is not a conduct, it's identification. Hallelujah. We were baptized into his death. So who died to sin? Jesus. How did we die to sin? By faith in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know ye not that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. His death is ours. Say, his death is mine. So when I say I'm dead to sin, I am claiming my inheritance. I'm laying hands on what belongs to me. It's not my work, it's the Father's work. Hallelujah. How can we that are dead to sin exist in it? Uses the words away. Exist in it any longer. Therefore, can we take verse 4 together? Come on, someone. If I like the word dead to sin, let me look at it. It's actually the Greek word died to sin. Died. Died is the word apotunasko. It means to die away from. That is, you are not just dead from sin, you are away from it. Hallelujah. You're dying. It's a past tense. So say it's a past tense. Say it's a past tense. Hallelujah. No, you're not. Verse 3. As so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So whose death is he talking about? The death of Jesus. It's mine. Say it's mine. Look at verse 4. Therefore, let's take verse 4 together. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. By the glory of who? So my being dead to sin is whose glory? Is the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. It's not your work, it is still the Father's work. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in his resurrection. Can we take verse 6 together? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. Can we take verse 7? And he that is dead is freed from sin. Say, I'm freed from sin. Look at verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Can we take verse 10? For in that he died unto sin once. In that he lives unto God. Likewise. Can you see? You will have used the scriptures to contradict the word. Likewise. Likewise. Hallelujah. All of this was going to make sense now. Likewise. Can you remember that word also? You also? Likewise. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead to sin. Indeed unto sin. And alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Christ died to sin how many times? Once. So we are dead to sin how many times? Look at the word reckon. The word reckon is when I tell you something. And I say, Apostle Ezekiel, I just put $5 million in your account. So who will be the whistleblower? $5 million in your account. You're going to the account, or you're knowing it, doesn't make it yours. It's my putting it there that makes it yours. But your knowing it is for your benefit. So it says, reckon ye is the word logizomai. Take account of this. So when we are teaching the believer and he is struggling with sin in his own mind like this, what are we teaching him? Take account of something. Take account. The teaching of the word. Why was Paul teaching? So that you will recognize. You will take account that what happened. Romans 6. You will take account. You will reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And truly unto God are you alive. Watch this. Is the reckoning what makes me dead to sin? Huh? My faith in Christ is why I'm dead to sin. But my reckoning is for my work. Hallelujah. It now begins to reflect in how I think, how I speak. So I don't say I'm struggling with sin. We can't struggle with what we are dead to. Hallelujah. Come on now. Don't forget, your experiences do not dictate the word of God. The word of God overwhelms your experiences. Hallelujah. We have died unto sin once and for all. He said, reckon ye. Take account. Look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in his lust. The word let not is a horrible, horrible King James error. The word let not is a double negative. Never, never sin should reign in your mortal body. That's not your work, that's his work. You went quiet. It's the same word, M-E. Never should sin. It is God that is telling you, sin will never reign in your body. That's what he said. That is why in Romans 12:1, he said, present your body. It's a living sacrifice. It is holy and acceptable unto God. That's what it is. So never sin should reign in your mortal body. Follow this one. It's going to make sense now. Verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but unto God. This is not your work. This is what God has done. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law and not under grace? He says, never. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are unto whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness, but God will pay. You were servants of sin, past tense, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. See, I was a servant of sin. Look at verse 18. Let's take verse 18 together. Being then made free from sin, you became. Pastor, he's not teaching conduct. Can't you see it? He's not teaching conduct at all. He's re-emphasizing how free you are. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. He says, you became. Verse 19, he now says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Is restricted. For as you have yielded your members, servants of righteousness unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants of righteousness unto holiness. He says, I'm speaking because of your ignorance. What then were you servants of sin? You were free from righteousness. What fruit are ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? But the end of those things is there. But now, being made free from sin, have become servants unto God. You already have your fruit. Do you get this? You already have your fruit and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin, see how we ended it. This is the end. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's not teaching conduct. He's just telling you what you should recognize. So our bodies are already yielded as instruments of God has done that for us. He took our bodies and called them the instruments of his own righteousness. So we already are servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Let me show you one more thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now I'm going to read to you verse 13. He says, meat for the belly and belly for meat, but God shall destroy both, it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise us up by his own power. I'm talking about the physical body. Verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Take note of that. Your bodies, your physical bodies, they are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an idol? Should God forbid. So that's a rhetorical question. He's not asking you that, would you not be doing this? It's wrong to do this. No, he's saying God forbid. It's not possible. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an allot is one body? For two say he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So your bodies cannot belong to an allot. It's already a member of Christ. Praise the Lord. We are the Father's work today. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. Before we get to verse 20, look at verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? You see, it's not something that's about to happen. Your body is already the temple of the Holy Ghost in you, which you have of God. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spiritual gods. Which is, the word to glorify means to use something the way it ought to be used. So already the glory of God is with the body. God has chosen to call your body his own member. Hallelujah. So like we have said, we are the Father's work. Praise the Lord. We are the Father's work. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Don't mind King James, it says unto good works. It's with good works. That is, we are created in good works. We're already born with good works. We're not born to produce good works. No. We have the good conduct already. We walk in it. That's why he said he had ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. So therefore, any conduct done outside the realization that this is in me is just behavioral manipulation. Or you can call it behavioral modification. You're just trying to, be moral. That's just formality. And I always say some pastors act like guidance counselors. They're basically just telling you moral things, not telling you who you are in Christ or what you already have. James 1:17 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of a first fruit of his creatures. In other words, what God, in verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What does that mean? He's talking about the birth of the believer. In 18, he says, of his own will begat he us. So when you're talking about every good gift and every perfect gift, you're talking about the new birth. It's good and it's perfect and it's from above. Let's quickly look at something. A quick study on something. We have been talking about the Father and his work. I found out that the New Testament Greek from the book of Romans refers to God 680 times. In other words, he refers to God. You have the term used for God 680 times. And also the book of Acts. But another observation. Except when Jesus mentioned it in Acts 1:4. And he mentioned the promise of my Father. And Acts 1:7. When he says where the Father has put his own power. And Acts 2:33. Where Peter said, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, God was never referred to as Father in the book of Acts. That's important. It shows us that the book of Acts is not a book of identification at all. It's a book of history, a historical document. But look at the epistles. We just said that the book of Acts doesn't record God as a Father more than three times. Two times by Jesus, one by Peter. And we have been talking about the Father's work. And we said that the epistles have it 680 times. 680 times. However, there's something worthy of note. Despite calling God 680 times, he has fewer times mentioning the word Father, but notice how the Father was introduced. Let's start from the book of Romans. Romans 1 and verse 7. Romans 1:7.
To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. So he wants you to recognize the God he's referring to as our Father. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, but like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Glory to God. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. He wants us to identify him as Father. Romans 8:14. Let's start from 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, hereby, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We realize again that God is called Father, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that fact is very prominent in the epistles. He wants you to recognize that the God he calls, it calls 680 times, is actually your Father. 1 Corinthians 1:3. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there's but one God, the Father. Hallelujah. Of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. One God, the Father of whom are all things. 1 Corinthians 15:24. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put all down all rule and all authority and all power. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:2. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comforts. Look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:18. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. In other words, he said, God has said about himself, I will be a father unto you. Galatians 1:1. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of man, of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. God the Father. Galatians 1:1. Galatians 1:3. Grace unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that emphasis again. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are sons. Glory to God. Ephesians 1:2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father. Verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Verse 17. Paul's prayer. He says, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Is a consistent emphasis that he is our Father. Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 4:6. You love this one. Verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, this is wonderful. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:23. He's talking about fathers here. Ephesians 6:23, the Father here. Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the consistent emphasis. Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:11. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Watch this. To the glory of God the Father. to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 4:20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he mentions God 680 times, but he wants you to realize that the God he's referring to, or they, pardon me, the epistles want you to realize that the God they refer to is our Father. Colossians 1:2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God. Again, look at this. Our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12. You know this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1:19. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace, watch this again, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. Look at that emphasis. Our Father. In the sight of God, our Father. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 11. Now God himself, you love this, and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. Our Father. Look at 13. 13. To the end he may establish your hearts. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that emphasis. In God our Father. Verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, our Father. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word, in every good word and work. 1 Timothy 1:2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, peace. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved son, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1 2. Titus 1 4. Did you observe it? Consistently, the letters introduce God as our Father. So whoever he calls God, Paul here now, 680 times, is God who is our Father. Verse 4, to Titus 1:4, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hebrews 1:5, the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father. Watch that. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Quickly, let's look at Philemon. Philemon 1:3. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father. That's a personal letter. And it says, it's from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:5. Now, chapter 2, verse 11 now tells you that Jesus, let's start from verse 10. It says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. He uses the same term he used for Jesus, called him the Huios. Many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Look at 11. For both he that sanctified and they which are sanctified, who are all of one, that is, they have one Father. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 7. He says, if you endure chastening, in fact, chastening, God deals with you as sons. For whom, what son is he whom the Father chastens not? He talks about that fatherhood of God. The fact that we are his sons already shows that he's our father. So he introduces God in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, as our father. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Who is he talking about? Of his own will begat he us. In other words, he is our father. James 3:9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So watch that. So again, he calls God our Father. That's James. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, with obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He introduces him again as Father. Look at 17. If you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourn in him fear, he calls him our Father. 2 Peter 1:17. And he received from God the Father. He received from God the Father. What then? He received from God the Father honor and glory. Again, he calls him Father. 1 John 1:2. For this life, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly have fellowship with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:1. It says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, not before the Father, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So the work of Christ is the Father's work. So advocacy is the Father's work. The advocacy is not towards the Father. It's against guilt and accusation. It's not an advocacy that stands before the Father and then begins to ask the Father, you have to forgive these guys. That's not what this advocacy is about. This advocacy is with the Father. In other words, the Father is at work in the Son against accusations brought, before him, against accusations brought against us. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, children of God, technon. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So the work of Christ is the Father's work. So the advocacy is the Father's work. This advocacy is against accusation, don't forget. And that's what the Father does in the Son. You find 2 John 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth. And love. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly I found of thy children walking in truth, as you have received a commandment from the Father. The only book you won't find God referred to as a Father is 3 John. But then the one who wrote that had already written two letters and identified God so strongly. Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, watch this again, the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Praise the Lord. Revelation 1:6. And has made us kings and priests unto God, his Father, to whom be the glory and dominion forever. Amen. So there must be, if you are teaching the church, you are teaching from the epistles, there must be a father consciousness, in all your doctrine, because we are not saved only from sin, we are saved unto sonship. Praise God. We are the Father's work. We are his work. We are what he has done. That's why in Ephesians 6:4, look at this. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul uses the same words he uses about spiritual growth in how fathers nurture their children. He says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What about calling him Father often? More than, all these other names we call him all the time. If you are going to call him God, ensure you call him God, who is your Father. Praise the Lord. He is your Father. You are his work. Your growth, your nurturing is His responsibility. Our spiritual growth is not Him abandoning us to what we can do or what we shouldn't do. Our spiritual growth is actually Him working in us. Philippians 2:13 says, God, our Father, who is at work in us. That's why Hebrews 11 and 10, he says, Abraham saw a people whose entire building, the entire makeup is God. Abraham saw the church. We are the Father's work. That's what Abraham saw. Abraham didn't see a place. He saw men. Who are these men? The spirits of just men made perfect. That Hebrews 2:10 says, we have been perfected through Jesus Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. We have been brought as sons into glory. We are the Father's work. So fatherhood doesn't stop at just being born. Fatherhood continues in nurturing us to growth. So He nurtures us. Jesus is the true vine. We are in Him, the branches. And the Father is the only one working. He is the husbandman. Hallelujah.
There's a song I think was sung by Bishop Clarence Martin. Then we can sing that together.
I call you Father, cause you are Father. You are a Father to me. I call you Father, cause you're my Father. Father, you are that Father.
Now take it again.